First Chronicles chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now, what we want to see here as I'm reading, foundations for giving thanks this morning. Hear now the inspired words of our God. First Chronicles 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, then Jael, Shimeroth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. Jael with stringed instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priest, regularly blew the trumpets before the ark of the covenant of God. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Seeing the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. We're encouraged today by Psalm Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 10, regarding the reading and the hearing of God's Word. or as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our prayer today is that God would bless the reading and the hearing and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, today, as we approach our National Day of Thanksgiving this week, I'm quite sure that we'll hear some good reminders about the history of the American Thanksgiving tradition and where our National Day comes from, and we'll hear a lot of that, and that's good stuff. But I wanted to make sure today that we looked to our confessional standards regarding Thanksgiving, and that we looked to the Scriptures and saw a good foundation there for how we give thanks. It's very easy to be told to give thanks, but we have to know how to give thanks today. And I would like for us to look at 1 Chronicles 16, I believe is a very good example of applying the principles of giving thanks. Today we're going to look at five foundations from our text for the giving of thanks. Now, our confessional standards talk a lot about thanksgiving. Giving thanks in general is always an appropriate thing. It's always appropriate to give thanks to God at all times. Giving thanks is included in the larger catechism, in many of the answers, especially in how we are to keep the first, the second, and the fifth commandments. So it's an essential part then with the first commandment of our knowledge of God. We have to know God to give thanks. And then secondly, our worship. We have to, in order to be thankful in our worship, we have to know how to do that. And so it's connected as well to the second commandment and our understanding of authority. We are not rebels against authority. We're thankful for the authority we have. And the larger catechism brings that out. It is Thanksgiving is included confessionally in our understanding of the administration of the sacraments themselves, and particularly in the receiving of the elements of the Lord's Supper. We are told that we ought to be thankful for those elements. So very broadly speaking, we are always to be giving thanks all the time, and we could connect that to all the Ten Commandments, in fact. So all of life is filled with giving thanks. But there are special times of thanksgiving that our confession acknowledges, and that's what we're seeing in our text today is a very special occasion, a time of giving thanks. The confession in chapter 21, section 5, speaking of worship, says the reading of the Scriptures with godly fear, the sound preaching and conscionable hearing of the Word, and obedience unto God with understanding, faith and reverence, singing of psalms with grace in the heart, as also the due administration and worthy receiving of the sacraments instituted by Christ, are all parts of the ordinary religious worship of God, besides religious oaths and vows, solemn fastings, and thanksgivings upon special occasion, which are, in their several times and seasons, to be used in an holy and religious manner. So thanksgiving can be connected to worship specifically, and we see this in the RPCNA Directory of Public Worship. It says the scriptural elements of ordinary public worship are prayer, the singing of psalms, the reading, preaching, and hearing of the Word of God, the presentation of tithes and offerings, and the celebration of the sacraments. To these may be added the special ordinances of fasting, thanksgiving, taking of oaths and vows, and public covenanting. So even in our standards of the RPCNA, we acknowledge that thanksgiving can be connected to worship. Now, I do want to point out, though, that there are special times of thanksgiving apart from worship. And we see this in an appendix to the Westminster Directory of Public Worship, touching on days and places for public worship. Now, we're talking about worship in general, but we're also talking about giving thanks on particular times that are called by our civil magistrate, particular times of days of fasting that may not include worship. Now, I want to make the point here, and I'm laboring the point, because personally, I don't like following church calendars. I don't think those are appropriate, and I don't think that we have a warrant in the Scriptures to follow that. But today, I'm preaching a sermon on Thanksgiving, and there's a day in this week that's called a holiday that is acknowledged to be a day of Thanksgiving. And I want to say that for a specific reason, to acknowledge today that the word holiday is thrown about among us sometimes a little too easily. And the origins of that word are, in fact, is discussing a holy day. Now, that meaning is lost, and we would say a holiday is a day off or a day to do something fun or to go out with friends or family. But the origin of that word has specific meaning. I want to be very careful today that we do not see Thanksgiving as a holiday or as a holy day. But I want us to acknowledge that it's an appropriate day to give thanks. I think that's an important distinction to make, because we are not warranted in the Scriptures to take and invent or to have holy days apart from the Sabbath day. And I don't think we're doing that with Thanksgiving. In the touching of days and places for public worship and in the appendix of the Westminster Directory of Worship, there is no day commanded in Scripture to be kept holy under the gospel but the Lord's day, which is the Christian Sabbath. Festival days, vulgarly called holy days, have no warrant in the Word of God, are not to be continued. Nevertheless, it is lawful and necessary upon special emergent occasions to separate a day or days for public fasting or thanksgiving, as the several eminent and extraordinary dispensations of God's providence shall administer cause and opportunity to His people. And we say very much the same thing in the RPCNA Directory of Worship. It says it like this: under the New Testament, there is no day commanded in Scripture to be kept holy but the Lord's day. And I love that that's part of our directory for worship, which is the Christian Sabbath. Nevertheless, it may be appropriate to separate a day or days for public fasting or thanksgiving as extraordinary dispensations of God's providence give occasion. And we have a section about thanksgiving, actually, in our directory. It says Christians should be thankful at all times, but there are occasions when special seasons of corporate thanksgiving should be observed. These may be in response to a particular blessing of God in the life of the congregation, the call of the civil authority for a day of national thanksgiving, and we make the connection there, if it in keeping with the Scriptures, or in thanksgiving for God's provision of material blessings. Now, our civil magistrate has established a day in the month of November as a day to give thanks. And I'm personally glad of that. I'm glad that that is acknowledged and it's set aside. And so we are glad today that we can take a day and to give thanks. Now, but there's a bit of a problem here as we view the day of Thanksgiving as a general, vague day to just give thanks for some vague blessing that came from some vague place and has some vague purpose for some vague end. And I want us to see today that without the proper biblical foundations, we don't know how to give thanks. We don't know what to be thankful for. And we certainly don't know who to be thankful to without the biblical foundations for thanksgiving. Now, we want our civil magistrate to be godly and to turn to the Word of God and to fulfill its proper role. But we have to acknowledge today that our civil magistrates in many ways are not favorable toward the Word of God. And in fact, in recent years have been quite hostile toward Christianity in general. Just this very week, a court tried to overthrow ministers having some tax-exempt allowance for their income and the purchase of their home, that kind of thing. It's an attack upon Christianity, something that's long been a benefit of ministers in our nation. So we're not talking about a godly civil magistrate that wants us to be thankful to God. We're called to give a general thanks. And I want us to be very careful today that we turn to the Word of God to know how to properly give thanks. And so our five, very briefly, our five foundations that we will see that are essential to give thanks today. First of all, giving thanks is built upon knowing who God is. Secondly, giving thanks is built upon history. Giving thanks is built upon covenant. Giving thanks is built upon Christ. And giving thanks is built upon the Word of God. And if we remove any of these foundations, we drift into that general vagueness of being thankful in some general way that is inappropriate from the perspective of the Scriptures. Now, our passage today marks a turning point in Israel. The Ark is returning back to Jerusalem after having been lost to the Philistines and residing apart for a while. Now it's coming back, and the people are rejoicing that this is God's blessing of His people. And as we read, picking up in verse 7, if you would look there, we see, in fact, that this rejoicing that David does here is picked up in Psalms 96, in Psalm 105, and Psalm 106. You probably recognize portions of this psalm. Look at verse 7. On the day David first delivered this psalm into the hands of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. This is our first foundation for giving thanks today. It is built upon knowing who God is. It is built upon knowing who God is. Look at verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. We must know God to be thankful. At the very beginning of 1 Chronicles 16, there's no mistake about who's being thanked. The confusion of modern pluralism is absent. There is no nod to other possible religions or other gods or an attempt not to offend anyone about talking about our God. It's clear that Yahweh is receiving the full credit and the glory for what He has given to His people. There's no mistake. The Scriptures are so very clear that God is the Creator, the owner, and the giver of all things in this world. In Psalm 50, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Notice the importance of the first commandment in giving thanks. There is only one God. Now listen to the larger catechism, question 104. It calls us to thanksgiving and acknowledging the one God. What are the duties required in the first commandment? The duties required in the first commandment are the knowing and acknowledging of God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify Him accordingly by thinking, meditating, remembering, highly esteeming, honoring, adoring, choosing, loving, desiring, fearing of Him, believing Him, trusting, hoping, delighting, rejoicing in Him, being zealous for Him, calling upon Him, giving all praise and thanks, and yielding all obedience and submission to Him, with the whole man being careful in all things to please Him, and sorrowful when in anything he is offended, and walking humbly with Him. So that's part of our obeying the first commandment, is giving all praise and thanks to God. It isn't reserving some for ourselves. It isn't giving some thanks to some general Mother Nature or some general goodness in the world. We give thanks to God. And if you don't know God, you can't give thanks. A very, very important foundation for thanksgiving. It's impossible then to properly give thanks unless we know God and acknowledge who He is. There is then no real benefit to a general sense of being thankful without knowing the one who is to be thanked. Knowing who God is allows us to reach then the focal point of giving thanks. It ends in worship. Worship of God is giving thanks to Him. The thanksgiving that we offer is not then some dry book report or an empty acknowledgement of facts or figures. It's not an afterthought in our lives or a footnote to our day. Being thankful to God then, if we know who He is, it is an outpouring of the heart to God, acknowledging His attributes and His perfections and all that He has done. Wouldn't it seem like that if you truly knew who God was and what He has done, that you would be overwhelmed? Isn't that the natural connection there with knowing God, that you're overwhelmed with thanksgiving, and yet our tendency is to be rather underwhelmed? Or to think about it at the end of the day, or once a week. Would it be sad if we only did that once a year? It's nice to have a special time set aside where we do give thanks and acknowledge who God is. I love this portion of Chronicles here, where in chapter 16, where it says, "Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him." Now, can you think of a more beautiful way to give thanks to God but by singing back to Him the songs that He inspired Himself? I think it's a sad thing that we've lost in the modern church the beauty of singing the psalms. And I wonder then how often that true, heartfelt, emotional thanksgivings are lost in our age because people have forgotten how to sing the psalms. What a shame that many have lost the most pure form of giving thanks by singing His word in His worship is the highest way that we could give thanks. This is an essential element of thanksgiving. The very words of God teach us who God is. See then that knowing who God is a foundation for thanksgiving. We pick up in verse 23. We're skipping ahead, but this portion also talks about God and how He is unique. If you read verses 23 through 33, they show us then the uniqueness of God and how we must know who He is to worship Him and to give Him thanks. Well, secondly, we want to see a foundation for biblical thanksgiving is history. It's history itself. We saw this in verses 8 and 9. So look at verse 8. "Make known His deeds among the peoples." We are a part of history. We are a part of God's history of His people. And if we don't know what deeds that He has done, how can we be thankful for where we are today? How can we be thankful if we think that we somehow just appeared here when I was born? If we're not aware of those who have gone before us or what God has done in the lives of His people. Verse 8 tells us to make known those deeds. That's a part of thanksgiving. Verse 9, "Talk of all His wondrous works." Can we do that if we're ignorant of the Word of God or of history itself? Look at verse 12. "Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." It's a truly, truly a wonderful blessing that we have the Word of God today, informing us of the rich, amazing, the miraculous, the wondrous works of God in the history of His people, His preserving them at every turn. We would ask today, how can we properly give thanks at all if we don't have this foundation of knowing who we are? How can we give thanks with no history? How can we give thanks if we don't know how we got here? Now, I want to encourage you today to spend more time in this coming year in the historical books of the Bible. In those wonderful books that talk about the kings, whether sinful or holy, those actions that the people of God have taken in the many ways that God has preserved His people. For some reason, I always think it's kind of funny as we train our children. This was coming to mind this week. We want them to learn the capitals of all the states. And for some reason, that's important. I don't know why that's important. But we want them to learn that. But we don't teach them the kings of Israel and Judah. That's a part of history. Something to memorize that isn't just some fact or figure about a place someday that you might go or see. The kings and the prophets are food for our souls because that's God's word. And if we can memorize those and learn that history, we'll know who we are. And there's comfort there in those chapters. There's comfort there. I know that in many times in my own life, the kings and the prophets have been a pillar in my life. And I don't think that knowing the capitals ever really fed my soul. But the Word of God does. History is so important. We're not reading about some distant people. We're reading about our own history. In these very pages, then, we see the foundation for thanksgiving. The marvelous works which He has done. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. And look what the Scriptures say. Let us make known His deeds among the peoples. Let us talk of His wondrous works. We cannot do that if we are not rooted in our history and we don't know who we are. And I would submit to you that we can't even give thanks if we don't know that. I would encourage you as well to see the history of God's people all throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. The portions of the Bible that many people tend to skip over. You know, the long list of the names that are hard to pronounce. What do we generally do with those? I must skip over those. I'll read those later. The hard passages, we read one today in Genesis for one of our readings. Do we skip over those, or is the Lord giving us those for our growth to show us His faithfulness in preserving His people throughout the generations? If the Lord allows, I would like in the coming year, in the afternoon service, to begin preaching through some of these historical books. I'd like to begin in 1 Samuel and to preach through the kings and the prophets and just see the great benefit that's there for God's people today. If the Lord allows that. Now, we're very blessed as well, especially in the RPCNA, to have such a rich and long history of our own church. The RP Church traces its heritage through the Westminster Divines, up through the Covenanters of Scotland, and then coming over and as a scattered people coming over from Europe into North America, the mid-1700s and the early 1800s. I would also call you today to consider the cloud of witnesses that we have in our own church and study and learn about the Covenanters and the history of our church, because that's our history. They're not some distant people that have no connection with us. They are us. Let us not forget their sacrifices and their works for our behalf. It's hard for us today really to be thankful if we're unaware of the sacrifices of these men and women and children that have gone before us. We're here today partly because God used them to preserve our faith. They have been faithful through great persecution. And sometimes we tend to forget that, to know where our ancestors came from and what they endured for things that we might easily set aside. helpful if we look back and see what they endured to keep those truths about the kingship of Christ and the honoring of the covenants of the church. I want to encourage you this week as you give thanks to the Lord to remember the covenanters. Be thankful for those who have gone before us. Now, if the Lord allows again, I would like also to begin at some point throughout this year, if we can find a time and a place, maybe a midweek study in the history of the covenanters would be a really good subject for that. Lots of good scriptural discussions and doctrinal debates that would be so enriching to us in our day. I want to be honest to you today, though I do think in a number of ways that our denomination as a whole has forgotten portions of its own history. Specifically today, regarding the doctrine of covenanting, we acknowledge this doctrine as a denomination, but we don't have a binding denominational covenant in our denomination. And I think that that's a shame. And it's time that we stood once again upon that rich history and we had a covenant in the RPCNA. Our covenant is part of our history. And history is a foundation for thanksgiving. It calls us to give thanks. A covenant is a reminder of our unfaithfulness. Read the covenant of 1871 and the many mentions that are in that covenant of where we've fallen short. And my friends, we need that in our day. History proves to us the covenant faithfulness of God. And that's our third foundation for giving thanks today. Giving thanks is built upon covenants. Look at verse 13. See if we can get around covenants reading the Word of God here. We can't. So let's look at verse 13. O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham, and His oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. My friends, today God is a covenanting God, and we are to be a covenanting people. We look back and we see these covenants that that are over us, that are administered in the Scriptures. The covenant of redemption, that covenant within the Trinity in eternity to save a people. That covenant. We are the recipients of that, the benefactors of that covenant. The covenant of works, that covenant with man bound to perfectly keep the law. We are fallen in that covenant. And without Christ, we'd still be bound to it. But how is that law perfectly kept? By Christ. And so then we have the covenant of grace, where those who are chosen to receive those benefits then receive that perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. Those covenants are so important today for us to know who God is. The covenantal nature of God is a foundation for our giving thanks today. It's hard to imagine that we could know why to give thanks or to know what to be thankful for if we lose that foundational principle of the covenant. Who are we if there is no covenant? What are we doing here if there is no covenant? Is God bound to preserve us? Are we part of anything? Why do we baptize? Why do we do those things? Can we be thankful if we don't know any of that? It's impossible to give thanks without considering how we are in covenant with God. That is a foundation for giving thanks. The Word of God tells us here in our passage today that first of all, there is a covenant. Israel, they are His chosen ones in verse 13. Second, the covenant is forever in verse 15. And thirdly, we see that what covenant are we talking about? Are we confused about what covenant? Well, the passage tells us so very clearly. It's the covenant that he made with Abraham. It was confirmed with Isaac and Jacob, and later confirmed with Christ. You and I today are included in that covenant because of what we read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Remember that covenant and its promises this week to you as you give thanks to God. Why are you preserved? Why do you have a home? Why do you have food? Why do you have salvation? Because of the covenant. You can't give thanks without it. Rightly acknowledging the covenants helps us to know who the covenant people of God are. And that's so very important today. We need that to be able to give thanks. But if we're not sure we're in the covenant people of God, then there's all kinds of confusion about God's being bound to us and what nature is He bound to us. But isn't that interesting that that's one of the primary points of confusion in the church today, is who are the covenant people of God? The confusion there strikes at the foundation of our thanksgiving today. Our children are a testimony of God's covenant faithfulness. They are included in that covenant. And that is why we rejoice today in knowing that they will be preserved in accordance with God's Word, because He has bound Himself to us. And for that we give thanks. How can we give thanks if we don't know that? And that's the primary reason that we give the sign of baptism to infants today. It's not because we're waiting for them to give a profession of faith. We know that the covenant is given to those who don't deserve it. It's given to those who have no input. God commanded that that sign be given to children in Genesis 17. And there's never a hint, never even a hint of repealing of that covenant sign in the Word of God placed upon our children. And so we are bound today to understand that thanksgiving is connected to that covenant. Look and observe the confusion in the modern church about the covenants. Look at that confusion and see how the modern church may not even know how to give thanks. Now, every day that we live, we are acknowledging our baptism and who we are and God's faithfulness to us. And I just want to point out to you the Larger Catechism question 167. It says, how is our baptism to be improved by us? And down into the answer, look at this later today, by serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it and of the ends for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow made therein. So your baptism has relevance to you today and every day. You are to be being thankful for that. That's part of your thanksgiving, is the covenant. That's very interesting, isn't it? That if you are not aware of being a covenant people of God, it's really hard to be thankful for that. Look at verse 19. As you're looking at that, I do want to encourage you then to show great diligence in being thankful for your baptisms and the covenant faithfulness of God to us. He's granted us another year of being preserved, and I want to encourage you to remember your baptism. Look at verse 19. When you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people, He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch My anointed ones, and do My prophets no harm. This is another acknowledgement of the covenant faithfulness of God to us. During our weakest moments, we know that God will protect us, His people. So throughout this past year, God has sustained us. When we were weak, when we were strangers in the land, God sheltered us. He protected us. So all of the protections that we enjoy, and this is one of the things that people tend to be thankful for at Thanksgiving, is the bounteous nature of our our current nation. We have lots of things, and we're comfortable and we're safe. But all the protections that we enjoy, all of the blessings we enjoy today, are all because of the covenant faithfulness of God. And those who do not know that covenant faithfulness are deceived into thinking that their possessions, their comforts, or even national peace is something to be thankful for. But there is nothing to be thankful for if you are not bound by covenant to an unchanging and holy God. We dare not stand today and say that we are thankful for generic blessings from some unknown source for some unknown reason. We dare not stand today and say that we are thankful for all the stuff we have that we earned because we worked harder than the next guy. To be truly thankful, we must recognize that covenants are the foundations for giving thanks. And it helps us very much to see that we are not the focus of thanksgiving. It's not about us. It helps us to be encouraged that God is sovereignly taking care of us even in times of trial. What do people who are not in covenant with God, what is their response when they have a personal tragedy? Or they have a time of trial, or leanness, or famine? Can they be thankful? But we can. Because God is sovereign, and He is using those things to work for our good. You see, we have to know that to ever even be thankful at all. Fourth and fifth, very quickly as we close. Giving thanks is built upon Christ. We've already said that in several different ways, but let's acknowledge it in verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. How do we receive the mercy of God? It is through Christ. Verse 35, and say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise. Verse 36, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. The mercy that God shows to us today is always through and because of our great mediator. It is always because of Christ. How grateful we are today that that mercy endures forever. It's not a temporary mercy today. We're grateful that it has no end toward the elect. How wonderful that we can cry out to God to gather us to Himself and protect us, because He is bound to us and He has perfectly protected us in Christ. Fifthly, and we've already touched on this one too, but let's acknowledge it. Giving thanks is built upon the Word of God. So let's ask that final question today. How do you know the following things? Who God is? By the Word of God. How do you know the history of God's people? By the Word of God. How do you know the covenantal faithfulness of God? By the Word of God. And how do you know of the perfect work of Jesus Christ? By the Word of God. We know these things because of the Word of God. So that is a foundation for giving thanks. No one can give thanks apart from the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us then take the reproof, the correction, and the instruction from the Word of God today, so that we might see that we cannot give thanks without the standard of God's Word to show us how. Our final, and I would say the greatest foundation For thanksgiving today is the word of God, because without it, we don't know the other four. Let's take the opportunity then this week to give thanks. But let's know that thanksgiving is not disconnected to these foundations. Let's be good witnesses for Christ wherever we go, as part of our families or out into the world, wherever we may be. Let's remember, though, that we cannot give thanks without the proper foundations. And maybe we can be a beacon to our families or to the world of those foundations that they so desperately need. Know who God is. Know the history of God's people. Know the covenants. Know Christ and know His Word. Only then can we even begin to know how to be thankful on this week of Thanksgiving. Would you stand with me, please, as we pray? Our Father in heaven, grant us thankful hearts for Your nature, for our history, for Your covenant faithfulness, for Christ, and for Your Word. By His name and for His sake we pray. Amen.